Oh, bless the Lord with me, and let us forget not all of his benefits. Do you have a tendency to forget some of God's benefits on your behalf? Don't forget them. Always remember God's benefits. Our message today is entitled, When God is Silent. When God is Silent. God's silence does not mean his absence. He knows and cares about our feelings. God is always present, though our awareness is limited. Let me say this. God is always present, but our awareness of his presence is limited. So you can feel that he's not near, he's not close, he's not around. Where have God gone? All those things are real. You can do those things, but realize that is the limit of your humanity. But we have to believe that God is present in order to receive full benefits of his help. So Satan will play tricks with you when you feel that God has abandoned you. He'll play a lot of tricks with you, so it is very important to know this. See, the Bible says to us in Hebrews 13, 5b through 6, says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, God's presence with us gives us confidence and makes us courageous for the Lord's purpose. You see, when a Christian loses confidence, it's hard for him to fulfill the purposes of God in his life. See, each one of us have a special purpose for the work of God. Your purpose may not be my purpose. My purpose may not be your purpose. But whatever assignment that God has purposed you to do, if you lose confidence in God, in yourself, the purpose of God for your life will not be fulfilled. See, God saying to us, that I'm with you to give you boldness, to give you courage, to give you strength. But that's not just to give you strength to be strong. But that is giving you courage to do his will. See, we need to know this thing is all about the will of God. See, sometimes we get confused. We spend a lifetime doing our own will or our own thing. It's my thing. I do what I want to do. And you go right through life. You're saying I'm a Christian, but you study doing your thing. But God said, I will strengthen you. I will give you courage. And the reason I'm present with you is for that very thing, to give you boldness. You see, sometimes you can be physically weak, but spiritually strong. You can feel like, Lord, I just can't get up another day. Lord, I am tired. But what is it that motivates you to go anyway? What is it that motivates you to do the things of God anyhow? When you know you don't feel good. When you know you're physically weak. But there's a joy inside of you that seemed to pick you up. That's the presence of God. He said, I'm with you no matter what comes against you, that you can have the boldness, the courage. It has the idea of courage and confidence. Let me tell you something. It's nothing like a Christian walking in full confidence that God is with you. No matter who don't like you, no matter who don't want you to be the one walking in confidence, it doesn't matter. When you know that you know what God is doing for you, see, it becomes personal. You see, because a lot of times when you believe and know that God is with you, He's more than the whole world against you. Greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. God is saying the greater is with you in your presence to make you bold, to strengthen you, but not for your purpose. Let's get this thing straight. For my purpose. You know, sometimes I've seen this thing. I mean, sometimes as you're going through this Christian life, you can feel the presence of God powerful. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe that's the time that you're filled with the Spirit of God. But I'm telling you that sometimes you're up against some things. You're going through some things. And you got strength you know not of. I'm telling you, when I was going after building this church, it was like God had just surrounded me with all kind of power. It didn't matter. All the banks that I went to, didn't matter. They said, no, I can't give you this. I can't do this. It didn't matter. Nothing wouldn't stop me. I mean, I was full of confidence. Okay, I'll go somewhere else. I'll go somewhere else. And then like I would look at myself and say, what's wrong with you? Why don't you just stop? You've been turned down. You ain't got no money. I mean, what's going on? Where is that confidence coming? But it's like there was a little push. But what it was, guys, I'm with you. I'm doing this thing. Calling all out of town, calling Doris about some things that the bank want us to do, and she said, don't do it. I said, we ain't going to do it. We're not going to do it. But I'm telling you something, I felt the closeness. That God said, come on, keep going, keep going. But God, I done been turned down, Doris been slamming them up. Keep going, anyhow. But God, what's the use? The use is that I'm with you. I'm in your presence. And I'm not here for naught. I'm here to give you courage, boy. Keep going. And guess what? Doors begin to open that I knew not of. God had already made appointments for me when I got there. I didn't know it, but God knew it. That's why he sent me there. So I'm saying this. Not to pat myself on the back. I'm saying this as an illustration of this message. As an illustration to let you know God is not with you so you can be weak. God's not telling you I'm never going to leave you or forsake you so you can slumber and sleep. He's with you that you can have courage. Now, if you don't want no courage, you keep telling yourself, God ain't with me. God done abandoned me. God don't care nothing about me. God doing for them, but he ain't doing for me. You keep believing that nothing. And you'll feel like nothing. You will do nothing. But God says, use my presence with you to be strengthened for my purpose. Man. Let's look at a few scriptures. My first point, when your heart is broken, know this, God is present with you to heal and bind up your broken heart. Psalms 147, verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You see, it doesn't matter what breaks your heart. Sometime a wayward child can break a mother's heart. Am I right about it, somebody? Huh? Sometimes folk are heart are broken that it seems like folk won't get saved. I mean, Lord, I've been talking to them. I know sometimes I get on their nerve, but Lord, my heart is broken because they're going to be right at death's door. And God, I don't want my relatives to go to hell. And God, it just bothers me. And my heart is broken. And even some play church. And finances, situations, sickness, bereavement. Many things can break one's heart. Am I right about it? But God is saying, bring that broken heart to me. I'll heal it. I'll mend it. You know, I am persuaded a lot of the benefits we don't receive because we don't believe. And then sometimes, if you're not careful, because you may have someone you know that they're not only are a believer, but they believe. Let me say this again. They're not just only believe or say, but they believe. And because they are a believer and they believe, it's like you see miracles working in their lives. You see things happening. You see, it's not about the person. It's about the God they serve and the promise he has made to you. But I got to believe. You got to believe. So you can say, heart, you are broken. I'm hurting right now. That's a fact. But you know something I know? God is right here. He ain't going to leave me with this broken heart. He's not going to forsake me. And he understands what I'm going through. And my Bible tells me that he's a healer of a broken heart. You see, there are some things you and I can't do because we don't have almighty power. Am I right about it? But the one that spoke himself that I would never leave or forsake. See, it say, not what you spoke, not what David spoke, not what Elijah spoke, not what Paul spoke, but what he said himself. And then he say, the reason I'm not going nowhere or letting you down, I want to give you some boldness. Don't get mad with sister when she walk in boldness and you don't. And you want to say, you ain't all that, you don't believe all that. No. Let's get that straight. You just may be seeing a lady walking in boldness. That's all. Walking in confidence, not self-confidence, but God's confidence. That God has promised me these things, and I'm accepting his promises, and now I'm walking in them. You see what I'm saying? You see, we got to extend past misery. That just can't be our epitaph. That just can't be all we about, misery as a Christian. Woe is me. Woe is me when I was unsaved. And I know that now. I didn't know that when I was unsaved, didn't know the Lord. But now that I know the Lord, that should have been a woes. With all that mess. Huh? No hope. No. Not now. Not now. Yesterday when I didn't know no better, yeah. But now I got one that's with me and get upset when I don't have confidence. Get upset when I don't have boldness. You read that and get the meaning of what he's saying. It's that you have confidence, courage, and boldness. Why we ain't got it? If you don't believe God, you won't ever get it. See, I know sometimes we see the nothing, but God told us it's going to be something. And we keep saying, but God, I don't see nothing. I still don't see nothing. He said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. You just wait. Keep trusting me. Keep looking. But God, I've been looking for years. I don't see nothing. He said, you just keep praising me. You keep giving me glory. Don't give up. Don't abandon me. Don't walk away. Don't go away from the house of God. You stand flat-footed on the promises of God. And you'll begin to see how God will open up doors that you thought would never open. And sometimes it looks like God is not doing anything. But what he's doing, he's just giving you peace. See, when God is giving you peace, even with a broken heart, he's doing something. Because you say, you know what, Lord, I'm moving. But Lord, what do it mean that you have said you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me? Yeah, I see it in scripture, but what do it personally mean to me? Because I want to begin to use what you say. See, if Danny tell me I can use his car, I can use it. Because Danny owns the car. And the owner say, I can use it. Now, I don't need to ask nobody else. When the owner tell me, I can use it. So when the owner of everything say, I want you to have some confidence, if you trust me, walk in my spirit, not in the flesh. Man, you ain't seen nothing yet. You just got to try God. But I know sometimes it seems like God is all over you. The presence of God is just so powerful. And some of y'all know what I mean. And then sometimes it seems like, God, where are you? Oh, I've been praying. I've been talking to you, but where are you? It just seemed like, where are you, God? See, one thing I found out about God, you about to get real with God. You can't play those games with God. But let me move on. My second point is, not only when your heart is broken, that he would mend the broken heart, but also, let me look at, let's look at Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is near. You see that? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. God is near. That's what I want to know when I am suffering, when I am hurting. I want to know, is God near? When my heart is broken, is God near? Now, here's the thing. The Bible says he is near. See, you know what the problem is? Not that God told a lie. The problem is, do I believe it? See, the one that believes what God says is the one going to be blessed by what God has said. You can't go ahead of God. You can't even go if God don't let you go. But it's nothing like going with God. Going where God wants you to go. Doing what God will have you to do. That you may bring glory to his name. That you may bring honor to his name. Not disgrace in his name. And I'm going to tell you something. See, what I think what we fail to realize. God wants to show up and show off in our lives. He wants to show up, show off, show his power to others because God is drawing folk in. He's drawing folk in. And then people will begin to watch you, especially when you say you're saved. Boop, whoop, because you're a living epistle. To be read. You're the light of the world. To light it up. So since you are all those things, you can't walk and act like you darkness. You know, because see, this is the thing. We gotta watch this thing, you who are spiritual. Feel you can look any kind of way, act any kind of way, long as you got yours. That mess don't work in Christianity. It ain't about yours. It's about others. You know what? It don't make no difference. Like, no, no. If you got there, we got to win other folk. And we got to show folk what God have done for us. You can't look. So wait a minute. I'm not miserable now. You mean if I get saved, I'm going to go to that stage? No. It should be something about the Holy Ghost in you and me that every now and then put a Holy Ghost smile on. Say, I'm filled with the Spirit today. I'm the light. Not bragging. It's just what God say I am. Let your light shine. I'm going to tell you something. You can be the light, have the light of salvation in your heart, the Holy Spirit, and yet at the same time, you won't let it shine. So when God say, be ye filled with the Spirit, he's telling you to yield the right of way for the Holy Ghost in that believer to be filled or controlled. All right. Since God is saying that, he is saying you control the key of yielding the right of way. I don't know about that. Yes, that's true. What I say, it is true. Let me tell you why it's true. Because if that was not true, you couldn't grieve the Holy Ghost or you couldn't quench the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost don't grieve himself. The Holy Ghost don't quench himself. That's done by the individual. Am I right about it, saints? Am I right about it? Because everybody don't know that. They're sitting in here. You might say, I want to just take some shackles off, folks. That's all. Let me move on. Let me get to my second point then. First point, when your heart is broken, know this, that God is present with you to heal and to bind up the brokenhearted. My next point, when your eyes are filled with tears, know God is present with you. He knows all about your sufferings and who is causing it. And his record of those things are accurate. Let's look at Psalms 56. My, my, my. We serve a good God, don't we, saints? We serve a good God. Take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. My, my, my. See, it's all right. If you're going to boast, boast in Christ. Okay? So I can boast in what he has done. Not what I have done. But if God have done it, don't tell me don't boast in his words. Don't tell me that. Because I'm not going to listen to you. No, sir. You can tell me don't boast in me. I got to go along with that one. But let's look at this. What did I tell you to go? Psalms 56, 8. I got to get to that address myself. It says, as David said, he said, you numbered my wandering. You know all about me in exile and all that I've been going through. You know all about that. He says, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your books? He said, on your scrolls, God, and store up my tears. And what he's saying, my sufferings, the things I've been going through, God, record them. You know, I was reading somewhere that it said that in time past that some folk would have mourners that would mourn into a bottle with their tears. And they would take those tears in that bottle and bury them with the deceased. And I believe that I was reading somewhere it said that, and some archaeologists was digging up some things, and they found some of those bottles that they thought to be those who mourn and had tears in the bottle. Now, I don't know all about that, but that's what I read. The tears represent sufferings, times of sufferings that we go through and had to shed a tear. You ever had to shed a tear for your children, for your own situation, your neighbor, schoolmate, somebody, a young person pass away, or an old person pass away, or someone. I've heard that some people even die from a broken heart. You see some elderly people who've been together for years and years and love each other to the max, and one passed, and not long before the other one passed. And wait a minute, I didn't figure them were going like that. And it's just the stress of losing that one that they love so much. When you saw one, you saw the other one. That they died from a broken heart. Anybody ever heard something like that? Come on now. Huh? Yeah, okay. So what I'm saying is he's saying, God, keep your record of what I'm going through. Have you ever had to shed a tear? Huh? And you know this thing about sometimes you shed a tear, you don't want to be around nobody. Sometimes the tears are forming in your eyes, but you're holding them. You're holding them. And then when you get your quiet moment or get in your quiet place where nobody's around, you let them go. You let them go. And you have your time of shedding the tear. Now there's tears of joy also, as well as there are tears of pain. But David was speaking about his suffering here, and that, God, you record my suffering, bottle up my tears. Keep a record of what I'm going through. Let me say, you ain't got to tell God to keep a record. God knows everything about you and about me. And the thing I like about it, not only do he know Brunubi, he cares. You see, it ain't about how much somebody know. I want to know how much you care. No. I know this. Yeah, I know you know all that, but do you care? Do you care for me? No, that's not what I'm saying. I know what you know, because you're going to tell me what you know. But can you show me you care? God says, know that I care, and I'll show you again. I say again, because I showed you on Calvary how much I care, for God so loved the world that he demonstrated in giving his only begotten son, the only one of his kind. Now let's look, let me tell you this now. Some people believe because I'm spiritual, I got it together, I won't never feel, Hebrew, that God ain't with me. Huh? That ain't even theologically sound. I understand those who are weak, those who are not on my path. Now I'm going somewhere with this, but I got to fix it first, then carry you there. Now, it's easy. It's easy to feel that way. Because maybe in some instance, that works, you who are spiritual. You follow me? But not in all cases. Walk with me on this one. When it comes to not feeling the presence of God, when God decide to not let you feel his presence, not let you be aware of his presence, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how spiritual you are. No, I'm gonna show you, but I'm trying to fix it so we go there. You know, this does something for me too. I said, Lord, I thank you for all kind of messages. I said, because you know what? Had never thought of it that way. Because I would have placed everybody spiritual in the other category. It was right before me, but I never put it together till I preached this message. Because you know when we do, he who is spiritual, restore they who, you know, spiritual. And there's a lot of things you can do when one is more spiritual, mature than the other one. A lot of things, okay? So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, whoa, doesn't matter how spiritual you are, you can feel the presence of God leave you. That's what I'm talking about. Let's stay with my subject now. Don't leave out here and say, Pastor said nothing different, and I'm going to show you. Huh? I'm going to show you scripture because I know what you want to see. Huh? And then you can say, oh, I knew that all the time, but I didn't put it together like Pastor was dramatizing it. Come on. That's my next point. My next point is, when you are going to and fro looking for God, know God is present with you. You know where I'm going? Can anybody guess where I'm going? Can anybody in the house guess where I'm going? I know some of y'all can. That means you get, if you can, that means you got what I was talking about. Okay, let me get there. Let me get there myself. I don't want to tell you the wrong address. Okay. Steve, go on and put it up on the board. I'm going to Job 23. Job 23. Watch this, y'all. Now, you want no more spiritual than Job. Forget it. God testified about him. Am I right about it? All right. So if I said something like that, because if I was sitting out there and the preacher was saying something like that, I want him to show me what he was talking about. And if he showed me, no problem. So we all agree how spiritual Job was. Do we? Okay. Now watch this, Hebrew. He says, look, I go forward, but he is not there. He's talking about God. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. Go ahead on to the next one. You working with me? I got to go back to the, are you, Steve, you with me? Oh, okay. Okay. When he works on the left hand, watch this. Not saying that God's not working. He's not saying that. He may be working with you, Dave. But right now he's silent to me. But he has a purpose for his silence. We know because we read what was going on with Satan and God. We know that. But when I put it together from this standpoint, knowing this was a spiritual man, and he still felt the presence of God gone. And someone in ignorance who was spiritual would say, I would never feel that because I know too much about the Lord. Come on, man. Let's get into the scriptures. He said, when he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. Come on. Come on. But he knows the way that I take. Watch this. He said, you know what? I may not get, let me tell you, let me kind of break this down a little bit to you. What I believe Job was saying, Job walked with God. He was used to that great fellowship with God. And he felt in his heart, I haven't done anything to not feel this presence. Ain't nothing I know that I've done. That's why I'm calling on him. I want to talk to him. I want to plead my case. Nothing I know I've done. We know it ain't nothing he done. Because we got the scriptures. But what I'm saying, I went and I looked at that. I said, wait a minute. This man is talking about, because we know God is present. And we know he walked with him. But I'm telling you something. Even in them times that you can feel the presence of God like he's all on top of you. And you can walk through brick walls with God because you know God is, you know. And then there's sometimes you don't feel it like that. And it could be because as the ladies were singing, he's an intention of God. And Romans 8 and 20, God's working things out to his own purpose for our good and his glory. Sometimes God will pull back on you and say, still trust me. I let it look like it's storming in your life, but still, trust me. It ain't all about me showering you with all good and not permitting some bad. that you love me. Some, I want you to know that you know that you know I'm with you. Come hell or high water, sickness, even death, I'm not going to depart. And I want you to stand flat-footed on my promises. No matter what I'm orchestrating around you or through you or by way of you. Job said, though, I can't find them, but I know. I'm certain of this. He know the way that I take. He know how I'm living my life. He know my in and out. He know all about me. No matter if he feels far from me, he know. But he know the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Don't matter how spiritual sound you are, and praise God for it. Sometimes it's God's purpose to not let you feel his presence. Our awareness of God's presence has limits. But the God we serve, there's no limits. So I want you to know, no matter what Job went through, God didn't leave him. But God had a purpose. God had a plan. God had a conversation with Satan. We know that. And God knew Satan was going to lose. But God let Satan do his thing with his man. He said, ain't nobody like Job. This guy see evil on one side of the street, he cross it. So I may see evil and walk to it, trying to save evil or think I can do something with evil. Job didn't do that. He's this man, the upright man. The man loved me. And see, now I say this for those. See, a lot of times you will pick up things you heard people say, look, spiritual cliques or whatever. I'm trying to find a name for it. And you will say it to other people, and you will say it, whoo, hallelujah. You'll say that, and the mess is not sound. And you don't know it's not sound. But when you know, now you can say, no, baby, you actually can be solid. But God has a purpose that you don't feel his presence. And I tell you what, even when those times come, move away. I know it's hard at that time because feelings are important and feelings are real. But you got to move away from your feelings and concentrate on the fact of the Word of God. And that you may have to say, no, I don't at this time, but I know. Like Job said, he know if he was tested. But you say, I know he haven't left me. And if someone would say, wait a minute, wait, you say you don't feel his presence as you used to, but you say you know he haven't left. How do you know? I know because he himself has said to me, he won't do it. Well, what did that mean? It means, see, first of all, the one that said it cannot lie. It gotta be true. It can't be nothing else but true. Because if this is not true, he's a liar. And I'm walking around serving a lying God. See, God say, try the spirit. Test out the spirits that's speaking to you. See, right now, some spirit speaking to you guys. Turn the pastor off. Get back on Sunday else. Don't listen. He's the pastor, but that don't mean nothing. All kind of mess going. You ain't got to tell me. I know it. I know what Satan is doing. I know what he's doing. I know. That's his job, though. But let me tell you, don't embrace that now. You tell Satan, shut up. Let me hear the word of God.
long as the man hang with the word of God, I'll hang with him. He give me an address, I go back and get deeper in it. And he's given address. I know. Because God, because Satan don't want you to be free. He wants you to be shackled. He wants you to be a slave again. And he don't want you to realize the power that you have in the Holy Spirit. He don't mind you quoting it. Just don't use it. Use me, walk in it. Walk in it. Ah. Joe said, I looked here, looked there, went here. But let me move from that. Let me hit this conjunction, but I know this one thing. I know he know everything about me. He see me even now. And when he tests me, he gonna know I ain't done nothing wrong. And the same way when God tests you, you know you've done something wrong, just confess it. Do like David. God, I know you won't despise a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You will not despise. God, yes, it was me. Nathan said it was me. He was your mouthpiece. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I've done wrong. I've sinned. I trespass against you. My iniquities were against you. Forgive me. Wash me clean with hyssop. If you do that, God, in your forgiveness, I'm okay. Don't put me in the hand of man. I want to end right here. Let's look at two passages of scriptures, and I'm going to come on off. But do you have Psalm 73? Steve, did I give you that? 21 to 24? Okay, 21 says, thus, and this was Asaph. Y'all know that familiar story. He saw the wicked, say his foot in the eyeballs. Hey, I know I'm saved, but like the wicked, they getting all the money and all the everything, and prosperity seemed to not elude them and all these kind of things. I want to be just like them. They cuss God and blah, blah, blah. Y'all read the whole thing, but I'm not. Right now, I just want to get this part right here. He says, thus my heart was grieved. He found out how foolish he was, if you read the whole thing. Now, go ahead. And I was vexed in my mind. You know, sometimes you can be grieving and so in your mind, you're hurting so bad. He said, I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. He's talking about now he's coming to his senses. He, you know, how he figured the unsaved were getting away with a whole lot. Okay. He said, nevertheless. See, now this is the part I wanted to get to. He's no matter how I look at the prosperity of the wicked and become envious. I want to be like them. No matter if they got to do that, I do the same thing. I want the money, baby. The money, money. Not the Lord, but the money. He said, nevertheless, I am continually with you. He said, you know what? What I got, Lord, I may not have all the money the wicked has got, the prosperity that they got. We're talking about material things, possessions. He said, but I got spiritual, the best spiritual possession you can have. I have a continual life with you. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. And watch this. Let's follow this now. Oh, my God. You hold me by my right hand. See. It's not that I'm holding on to God's hand, Danny. He holding me, Danny. Because I got a tendency to stray every now and then. But I need to know it ain't me holding me. It's God holding me. Come on, give me some more, brother. Give me some more there. Come on now. Where you at now? Oh, you done move? Okay, I got excited right here with this thing. The mic was so, but you know. You will, watch this. Look what else I got. Look at my spiritual goodie bag. You will guide me with your counsel. So when I go off and say crazy stuff or get evil and all that crazy mess, guess what? I can't keep reading the scripture or God will deal with me. Anybody ever had the scriptures deal with you? Anybody ever had the scriptures? Man, you say, Lord, Lord, that's me, Lord. And then you say, you try to get away from that one, turn to another one, bam! Got me. God, forgive me. Why this keep coming up? Yeah, because that's what you did. That's why it's coming up. You will guide me with your counsel. I got that. Watch this, watch this. And afterward, receive me to glory. Do you understand? It get better for us. Now the wicked folk that he was upset with, he was envy over, they ain't gonna be received up. They're gonna be received down when this thing is all over. Down into hell. Are you with me? The lake of fire. But you and me, no matter how what I go through here, I need to know not just about here and there. I need to know, is my future intact? He hold my hand. He give me counsel. And when this thing is all over, when it's all over, I'm no longer looking at the wicked and envy because they got money and I'm broke. No. You will guide me with your counsel. Talk to me, God. Straighten my mind up because I'm thinking crazy. I need some counsel. Because the stuff I'm doing and about to do, if someone don't straighten me up, I'm going to get in a world of trouble. So counsel me with your counsel. You talk to me. Use your wisdom to straighten me out because I ain't thinking clear right now. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God some glory. That's your condition. Don't let your feet slip. Don't even let it almost slip. Asaph said, I almost slipped. Now, I know you spiritually want to hear that you never almost. He said, but I did. So let me tell you why. That's 24. One more and I'm coming on off. Y'all like the word? One of my favorite passages here said, but I can't, some people need to put 1 Peter 5:7 up there, brother. Some people need to see it. It can't just be for two or three of us. And 1 Peter 5:7. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm coming on, Dad. I'm tired now. I want to end this thing. You got any anxieties? You got any weights, burdens? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It's nothing like casting your care on somebody and they don't think nothing of you. You go to talk to them, say, man, I want to talk to you because I'm really going through something. Huh? Man, come on, man. I'm hurting. You know what? Forget it. Because you end up hurting me more than I'm hurting now. Act like you care. When someone comes to, at least act like you care. You may not even want to hear it. But at least act like you care. Because the Jesus you serve, he do care, Pat. My Pat, he care. Know that you got the best counsel. And you got the, I know, I see you holding your sister's hand. Huh? You've helped them in the hand because you've been a caregiver for a long time. Yes, sir. And I see you too, Sister Agnes, holding your husband's hand. Caregiver. Huh? I do the same thing. But I want to say this to you. You are holding your husband's hand, your sister's hand, and I'm holding my wife's hand. But the scriptures just told me, God is holding my hand. So that's transferring strength that I don't have. I'm holding your hand, baby. But I get weak. But when I think out who's holding both of our hands. It generates a new strength. Because I know he cares. He cares. Say it over here like you mean it. Like you know he cares. Say it like you know he cares. Say it over here like you know he cares. We got problems, situations. Been praying for things, ain't nothing happened. Still know he care. Huh? Joan, you've been praying for a lot of things, you ain't seen nothing. But he still care, don't he? He still care. You still serving, ain't you? Huh? Still serving. You come in the house, don't you? Huh? When the enemy say, why don't you stop? You've been serving the Lord for a minute now. You and Deacon Curtis. I love the Lord.